Cameron? Blink if you understand me.
Cameron has never been in love. At least nobody's ever been in love with him. If things don't change for him, he's gonna marry the first girl he lays. And she's gonna treat him like shit. Because she will have given him what he has built up in his mind as the end-all, be-all of human existence. She won't respect him. Because you can't respect somebody who kisses your ass. Just doesn't work.
So welcome back, MGTOW men. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that clip, but that is from one of my favorite movies of all time and one of the most red pill-laced films, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. So for those of you that don't know the movie, I'm going to give you a brief synopsis based on the lovely interweb summary, and then I'll also talk about that clip in particular. So Ferris Bueller has an uncanny skill at cutting classes and getting away with it. Intending to make one last duck out before graduation, Ferris calls in sick, borrows a Ferrari, embarks on a one-day journey through the streets of Chicago. On Ferris's trail is high school principal Rooney, determined to catch him in the act. So two of the main characters in Ferris Bueller, the main protagonist, who's perceived to be the MGTOW in some sense, which I'm going to look at as the red pillar in this video, he goes his own way. He does not stress about missing school or getting caught by the principal. On the other hand, he had the popular girlfriend, Mia Sara, known as Sloane Peterson, and she was all over him. She even utters at one point that she's going to marry him one day in the movie. And Cameron, on the other hand, who you've probably seen in other movies, Alan Ruck, wears the Gordie Howe Detroit Red Wings jersey, is the focal point of today's video and a specific line about him. So he's Ferris's friends, and I would describe him as the indecisive Eeyore-type character. So while Cameron has freedom by not having a girlfriend in the movie and being able to go to whatever college he wants after high school or to go whatever route he wants in life, different from Ferris, he accepts being imprisoned to things like his personal annoyances about life, rules and restrictions at school, and the end that are set forth by his father, who doesn't give him any attention, instead focuses on his car and his home. So a synopsis of Cameron helps paint the picture of tinges of blue pill nature and TFL behavior. So Cameron's own excessive worrying is another key contributor to his drab outlook on life. So let's not forget his submissive surrender of his own needs to pacify others. He worries about his health, but he leaves the house to hang with Ferris. He worries about getting in trouble at school, but he lies to the dean of students. He worries about his ruining his father's rare Ferrari, but he joyrides with it anyway, caving into the whims of peer group role model, blue pill, TFLer also. So one of the pillars in MGTOW is not only going your way and for the sake of going your own way, it's also to work on your ability to remove fear of other people and their opinions of your life, okay, and what you choose to do. In Cameron's entire existence, including the scene in which he lashed out and smashed the bumper on his dad's Ferrari, the end, if you haven't seen it, go see it. It's fueled by his perpetual concern for others' opinions. And blue pill thinking, if you look at it, believes that the system that you're living in, for Cameron, his inferiority and metaphorical prison created by his overbearing parents, is the only system that he can operate in. He has to follow it. He has no choice. And breaking it would require anger, not sound thought, and balance somewhere between anger and sound reasoning and judgment, which I would call red pill thinking. And that would be the meekness that I talked about in the other video the other day. And the one scene that you heard that says so much about Cameron Fry and is an example of a blue-pilled simp with some TFL thought trapped in his mind is when Ferris steps in the front of the camera as Cameron dwells on his desire for one-itis entrapment in life and says, Cameron has never been in love. At least no one has ever been in love with him. If things don't change for him, he's going to marry the first girl he lays. And she's going to treat him like shit because she will have given him what he has built up in his mind to be the end all and be all of human existence. She will not respect him because you can't respect someone who kisses your ass. It just doesn't work. So let's dissect this and look at it for the red pill nuggets that I would have never thought of before going MGTOW. And that's one of the beauties of MGTOW. You see all these new things, see these movies that you liked as MGTOW. So I hadn't been in love, as Ferris would have called it, until I hit age 20. I had my first girlfriend. So I was much like Cameron would have been. I came dangerously close to marrying this girl or thinking that I should marry this girl. And as a man, the biological inclination to fall for a girl and to commit to a girl that you have sex with out of the notion of loyalty is really strong. And you can compare that to the potential simp early 20s married Cameron. And you can compare that even to the marriages of the 18th and 19th century, not necessarily in a bad way. So I wouldn't characterize those marriages as being simp marriages, but the reason that many of these marriages occurred when they did was that societal pressures and expectations also made it seem acceptable to marry that first girl that you laid with when you were a teen. So you gave time for that loyalty gene, whatever it was, to kick in as a male. And then marriage seems to happen right away. And you also don't give yourself enough time to see that the world has 3.5 million females in it, or whatever it had during the 80s when John Hughes made the movie. So even still, a guy like Cameron living in an opulent suburb during a relatively sound time economically would have had thousands of sexual opportunities as a male. So you give him enough time after having sex a few times, especially with what old CL Baird 40 says in one of his videos, the rule of 50 or 100, which states that when you pass having sex that many times with a particular girl, whatever the number is, you start to realize that things aren't that special anymore. There's a whole other video I can make on that. And this is just to say that I was very much like this. So I was very much like Cameron. And during the first couple of months, and you've probably been there too, maybe just during the first couple of months of dating my first girlfriend, because, and you know, I might have hit that number pretty soon, pretty quickly, or having sex a lot, you know, Cameron would not give himself that amount of time to get through it. And that's one of the major pillars of truly going red pill is self-worth and realizing this isn't really what I'm selling out for this. And this brings up Cameron as TFL. And so while Cameron doesn't perfectly fit a TFLer, he is the opposite of Ferris Bueller, okay? So who would have probably aligned himself somewhere between being a PUA and a red pillar. I could see him really being a PUA type guy. Kind of already is. And TFLers are typically defined as people that are forced to be lonely because of the perceived impression that they're getting rejected by women. So thus, if a woman doesn't reject that man, he will oftentimes latch onto her. In his eyes, he is what Ferris predicts of Cameron, to be the best in every way, from sex to personality to looks and so forth, that he could get. And thus, he would put up with her bickering, her nagging, her abuse, her derisiveness. And I didn't fully gather my own individual worth until I realized the difference. Here it is, guys. The difference between me as a single man and me as a whipped blue pill man kowtowing at every request of my first girlfriend. So sure, I did end up dating. I did end up dating again after that experience. But the first time dating is often a trial run, guys, that teaches you things, including what your self-worth actually looks like in your life, your time. Thus, my second girlfriend, it only lasted about one quarter of that time that my first did, about 4 months. And what's at stake here are realities, the red pill, the blue pill, and the purple pill. So they don't really necessarily solely have to do with personality traits or beliefs, so to speak. They have to do with realities and concepts, constructs, existences. So Cameron has chosen to construct a certain reality, a reality that would lead to divorce and a wife that would end up cheating on him with Ferris Bueller. So this is a message that's framed directly at those of you out there that have gotten out of a relationship recently. Maybe you're struggling to accept the red pill and want to go blue pill again. Maybe you're recovering from a divorce. Maybe you're just trying to understand what your self-worth is, if that BS that your ex put you through was justified or it was a result of having no backbone. So you kind of have to go through that. And this is for you because most likely it was a blue pill reality. It was a Cameron reality. It was a reality that you put up with because you didn't want to take something bitter that would benefit you far more in the long run. You didn't think there'd be another opportunity out there. And once you realize that, you realize the opportunities, girls, aren't really worth it. And once again, girls like a challenge, guys. This last sentence in there really sums it up. I'll read it again for you guys. She won't respect him because you can't respect someone who kisses your ass. It just doesn't work. So it goes like that and also goes, girls like a challenge, girls like a bad boy, girls like somebody that stands up for themselves, just the way it is. And that is ingrained in us from culture to culture. I don't care where we're looking. Why do we not like brown nosers? Why don't we like teachers' pets? Why don't we like blue pill white knights? Because they have no self-respect. And girls are the same when it comes to dating, and even more so. So they don't have respect for a guy that would be the backboneless Cameron because he doesn't value himself. And if he doesn't value himself, how is he supposed to fight for food for her, for hunting? How is he supposed to stake his claim in the clan? How is he supposed to stand up to authority at work or make important decisions that would lead to money for her, for him, for the children? She doesn't like it. It's not masculine. And as much as the media and the educational system and Supreme Court likes to tell us that there's no difference between a man and a woman, A woman likes a masculine man. I've never heard of a woman that said a confident man is unattractive because he's confident. Maybe he's not attractive, but it's not because he's confident. It's just nature. And Cameron would be going against nature, and he would need time to take the red pill. That's why it's more common for a man to accept and continue with dosage of red pills if he's had experience. This isn't always the case, but the strongest, most milligrams in a red pill dosage come following experiences. And heck, why does Ferris's sister end up making out with the lately arrested Charlie Sheen in the movie? They want a guy that's a bad boy, once again, because he probably stuck up for himself at least. At least this is the case sexually. And don't be Cameron in this regard, guys. Don't be a Cameron, Gordie Howe, jersey-wearing Cameron. There are many more qualities of Cameron that I admire and think are great. This is not one instance that I'd point to. So men, if you have another movie moment in this movie that shouts red pill to you, let me know. If you have not seen the movie, please do yourself a favor and go see the movie now. It would do a lot of good for you, full of red pill moments. I would love to go like minute by minute and just kind of like pull John Madden, like get the telestrator going and narrate it with the red pill narration, watching along on Twitch or something. But if you have a request for that, just want to reach out to me or want to coordinate an interview, hit me up on Twitter at sunrisehoodie or at sunrisehoodie@gmail.com. Guys, be the one to call Abe Froman. Don't be the one to bash your dad's car and because you never stood up for yourself. Be a Ferris. Save Ferris. Save a Ferris. And also, guys, enjoy being alive, okay? I want to send my prayers, my condolences to the families and the people that were harmed in Las Vegas. I don't know much about the situation fully yet, although I'm assuming it was at a concert at least, Jason Aldean. And each corner we turn, men, could be the final image that we see. So enjoy every minute that you have, please. Capture the moment. I talked about this during my live stream with Darius MGTOW Knowledge and Charles F. Gray. Part of the reason that we go MGTOW is because it affords us more time. And our time on Earth is finite. And as Ferris said, if you don't stop around to take a look once in a while, you might miss it. And it's loaned to us. And it's the most scarce resource on Earth. It's time. So as always, brothers, hoodies up. Hoodie is running to beat his parents back home.